Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Now, if only I could do the same with the rest of my life.
You know what? Progress is progress. It starts in one area, overlaps into the next.
I suppose it does.
Hello. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Welcome to Stuff Your Doctor Should Know.
Yeah, we're coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, which is really clogged and sluggish and gross. And
wow, you've been in there. You've seen it.
That's where we're at. We're in there right now.
Mine or yours?
The collective.
Yeah.
So
a lot of pharmaceuticals in here. A lot of pills.
We need to talk about cleaning it out. That's what I think. I wanted to talk today about detoxification because I feel like I've been doing so much work on our new program, Detox It, and it's such a good program because, well, first of all, I've been really, really, really submersing myself in detoxification information and what the speaking of the collective, what by and large, what people think and say and professionals and experts say about cleansing. And it's interesting because there's a lot, it's a huge umbrella and there's a lot of varied opinions. And mainstream medicine doesn't really buy into it. They don't really buy into detoxification. They don't believe in it. And they feel like you can't really support the body to detoxify any more than it already does on its own. And then, of course, there's a complete and total alternative view, which is that you absolutely do need to detoxify your body in every way. And I feel like there's a happy place in the median, in the middle, which is just like encouraging safe, healthy detoxification, you know. But some allopathic forms of detoxification, like chelation, you know what that is, right?
Explain that to me again. I always forget how that.
Well, there's different forms of chelation. Chelation is basically just when you kind of like chelate is to like drive out, right? And so you when you get IV chelation, you go and they put different types of chemicals through an IV in your system, and it they're like little magnets. It's like little magnets that attach to other through toxins in the body, usually metals, and drives it out of the urine and the stool. With IV chelation, it's pretty invasive because you're getting a regular routine visits to the to a clinic that administers this stuff through IV. And
idea is that you go in there and take these substances that could be if harming you. I don't know if it's harming, but that are just kind of stuck in your body that are in there that are not being used, kind of thing.
It's like metals, like heavy metals, usually.
So when you say chelation, it's referring to pretty much just metals in your body, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. So IV chelation is usually people go in and they do a heavy metal toxicity test and find out that they've got, a mercury load or whatever. And then they go and they get this treatment, IV chelation. It's pretty invasive. I think it's invasive. Dr. Marshall used to say that the chemicals that they use can be quite harsh on the body. And so I've never been like one to endorse it. And I've also seen countless people get it and then not really get well, not really have like great, great results from it. So it's not always 100% that it's going to work.
Well, is it that the immediately after their body has just released so much that it might be in the body?
So dislodging these metals. So
right.
Something that the body does. Okay, so the body has its own form of chelation. And it uses minerals.
You said that your body does everything it can to protect you. Like it stores stuff in the gallbladder, mm-hmm. in your organs to protect you from any kind of danger and will keep it away, right? I remember that.
So like anything, right? So even if you take a really, really, really healthy 7-year-old child, right? And they get exposed to mercury or they get exposed to lead or mold or parasites, right? But let's stick with the metals for now. This child's really healthy, and they get exposed to mercury. that child's body will naturally chelate the metals out on its own. Usually by taking minerals and sort of like attaching themselves to the metals and dumping and are you okay?
Sorry.
Why are you doing this to me? Now I'm hearing strange things.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Is it better now? There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll cut that out.
So the human body has its own mechanisms of detoxification, and usually it's minerals. Minerals. They're going to do the job almost always. And if you don't have a mineral reserve, that means you're probably not a really healthy person, and you won't be able to do that. So the body has to have a backup. If it doesn't have the tools it needs to get rid of the foreign invader, it then has to make sure that that foreign invader doesn't get into the brain, into the eyes, into the heart, into the lungs. So it will sequester it. It'll put it in jail somewhere in the body. And some of the most obvious and safest places to do that is in fat. If somebody doesn't have a lot of fat, it'll go to fatty organs like liver. And this is bad because it kind of, and then if it does make its way into the brain, which it oftentimes does, then you've got metals that can get lodged throughout. Am I talking too loud?
I had to lower it for me, yes.
Okay. And then they get lodged throughout the body, and this is like a problem, right? So then you get to be, you know, this same child that's 7 that maybe wasn't so healthy all of a sudden is getting all this different, you know, levels of toxicity in their body, and then they turn into an adult. And they're not well, and they do a heavy metal test and find out that they've got this metal load of varying metals, different types of metals, from everything from vaccinations to dental amalgams to exposure from pollution, everything. Maybe even food that they're eating has part, you know, metal toxicity in it. And then they get to a doctor who's going to do IV chelation. So going back to you, what you said, yeah, it's eliminating some, but it's dislodging, right, this stuff from the safe places, from the jails. It's unsequestering it. Is that a word? Desequestering it, whatever.
Pardoning.
It's pardoning the bad
metals,
guys.
Yes.
And so the issue could be that some of that stuff gets loose in the body but doesn't necessarily attach to its chelators, right? So it doesn't jump into the garbage truck that's trying to drag them out. Mm-hmm. And now it's liberated into the system. And so all of a sudden they start having, maybe they feel great, and then all of a sudden they start feeling worse again. They start feeling fatigue or whatever other symptoms show up. And that could be a sign of the fact that they've dislodged these metals and now they're liberated and now they have another problem. Same thing goes with a lot of different types of cleanses, you know, like parasite cleanses. This is something I've talked about at length in my programs, in my lectures, and in the podcast a few times, which is people are always asking me, why don't I put people on parasite cleanses? And it's a similar concept. It's because when, you know, again, let's go back to that healthy 7-year-old kid gets exposed to some kind of amoeba or giardia or whatever, really healthy child probably will handle that amoeba or parasite in the gut with his really healthy HCL production. It'll kill it dead in its tracks and it'll never make its way into the bowel. But most people are not that healthy year-old person, right? They have issues with hydrochloric acid production, which is the first line of defense. Right, the first line of defense is that when you swallow that food or you drink that water and it gets into the belly, your first line of defense is your hydrochloric acid arsenal. And if that's not there, those amoebas, those parasites, those foreign invaders get past the stomach and into the bowel. And then that's where all shit breaks loose, basically.
And I would say that this episode has been brought to you by Premier HCL, hydrochloric acid. Yes. Please go to healthygutgirl.com and sign up for your free account with Premier and pick up your HCL. You know what?
Well done, Mark.
You know what? I say that because it's always like, it's in my toolkit all the time. Like before I go to work or everywhere I go, I think I even have two in my pocket. Like I always keep two in my pocket. And sometimes, it is two right there. And I didn't take it after I ate because I had to digest. So I always keep it on me. And then when somebody at work, like I've told these stories countless times, and I'm like, oh, hold on. And I find like one down there. I'm like, God, I wish I had two. Okay, but the one works. And I whenever I have two, it works better, obviously. But I always help people when they got problems with their stomach at work. And I'm so like, take this. Like, they're like, what is this? And when I just say, look, it's hydrochloric acid, it's beet derived, it's all natural, don't worry about it, it's not a quaalude, I'm not giving you my drugs because I wouldn't do that to you at work.
Well, let's just be honest, you might do that. Remember Mark's Pharmacopoeia?
Mark's Pharmacopoeia. Yeah, I'm really this dealer on the side who walks. You know, whenever you catch me, just, you know, you should ask me on the street, hey, Mark, HCL in your pocket? I might have it. I mean, if you were, you know.
HCL, psilocybin?
Yeah, if I was on The Price is Right, who has HCL in their pocket? I would win every time.
On The Price is Right. Did they do that on The Price is Right?
You know, does anyone have a paper clip and a rubber band? I don't know.
That's like wedding games. I went to the funnest. It wasn't a wedding. It was like a corporate party, a Christmas party for, it was a Chinese owned, it was my friend Jack who worked for South Park. And he probably did, if he ever heard this, he probably like, can't believe she even remembers that. This is years ago, but he invited me to this corporate, his dad owns this massive company. And we went to this corporate Christmas party. It was the best time. I think one of the best parties I've ever been to. They played so many games and they had these massive tables that seated like 15 people with these Lazy Susans in the middle with nothing but like Chinese food. Like, it was amazing. Mm. But we played this game where they were like, okay, it's like a scavenger hunt, but on your own table. You can't leave your table. So basically, they give you like a list of things to see what you have at the table. And so you'll have like, okay, a used toothpick at the table, a fresh toothpick in the plastic, a tampon, a fortune from a fortune cookie.
Was it really a tampon on the table?
Yeah. No. I mean, you have to collect those things.
Oh, whatever you have on you. Okay.
Not a used one. As a matter of fact, I do have a tampon. Anyway, so the scavenger hunt had like all these awesome things and so there was like first place, second place, third place, you know. But the things that you win were crazy. It was like
like
flat screen TVs and yeah, it was crazy. Like a house alarm system. Like, it was nuts. It was really cool. Anyway, it was fun. And then they gave out all these little red envelopes that had dragons on them, you know, the ones for the Chinese New Year and different Chinese holidays, and they all have money in them. And the family just walk around, everybody just gives each other these envelopes, and I left with like, I don't know, $150 and like a flat screen TV. I'm just kidding, I didn't win the TV. But how do we get on that topic?
Premier HCL. Right. I don't know how we go from Premier HCL for that to that.
So, well, I like how you squazzed that HCL into that. It was really good timing, well thought out. And it's true. It is the first line of defense. You know, when you eat something, it has to be, this is a huge misconception. Everybody that I've ever spoken to, almost everybody about HCL, thinks that it is to digest protein, animal protein specifically. Mm. And yes, that is one of its functions, but it has many functions in the body. And the most important function is to disinfect everything that passes through the stomach and into the rest of the bowel. It literally has to, it's your acid bath. It is 1.0 pH, just about your stomach acid. And if it's any more alkaline than that, you will not disinfect what's going to the bowel.
So, point taken. You want your stomach to be acid. And so when I see people like drinking alkaline water or taking an antacid after they eat, it's completely, you just don't want to do that, right?
Right. Well, you definitely don't want to do it with your food. You don't want to do it with your food because that's exactly when you need the acid. So I just heard some cyberspace telepathy people asking, well, but my doctor says I have too much acid. And That is incorrect. I mean, he's probably right, but it's not too much hydrochloric acid. Usually it's too much lactic acid. So that means somebody has been going a little too long without making hydrochloric acid because of medication, stress, eating too much garbage, and a lot of cooked food also diminishes your hydrochloric acid production, and a lot of medication. And then your body has to have a default. So it'll back up with lactic acid. And that's way more corrosive, apparently. So, you know, yeah, you might have too much acid, but the right kind of acid is the HCl. Not everybody can jump into taking HCl. People might have H. pylori. They might have stomach ulcers. They might have issues where they have to heal the stomach first. Mm. But it is your first line of defense. So, yeah, so go to healthygutgirl.com, click on the shop page, and sign up for your own Premier Research Labs account for free. Peruse all of the everything, all the products for free. Highest quality stuff.
I've always wanted to know, why can't you just go to a vitamin store and pick up Premier? Why do they do that?
Because they're nutraceuticals. They're a certain grade of supplement that requires that you are under the care of a knowledgeable practitioner like myself or a physician to prescribe or to recommend.
Okay, you say nutraceutical.
Nutraceutical is like a pharmaceutical grade supplement.
Right.
So it's not like going into Costco and buying like a family value of multivitamins. And it's acid. This is acid. So you want, when you purchase something like this, you want somebody like myself to be able to say,
right,
you,
there's a very specific reason that
I'm
going to
give
eating.
You the
okay.
education about this before
right.
you take
you're
it.
You're not going to go
it's
into
it's not a Fred Flintstone gummy.
Yeah, no one's going to know. That's the thing. No one's, when it comes to HCl, and maybe digest not so much, but HCl, since that's so darn specific, you're not going to know what do I need HCl? You just don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know this from your studies, you know this from talking to people, you know this from your and handling your clients.
Well, a lot of digestive supplement support, even in Trader Joe's or whatever, low level quality vitamins, even their digest has HCl in it. It'll have pepsin and HCl.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's the important part of digestion. But you don't want to combine them. And mm-hmm. we talked about this before. It's just, it's best to take the digest with your food and the hydrochloric acid after your food, or the HCl after your food, up to 30 minutes after. You don't want to combine them together. They degrade, the HCl will degrade the effects of the digest. Anyway, so going back to the first line of defense and your stomach and everything getting disinfected, that's so important because all of those different types of bacteria that are unfriendly, the pathogens, need to get, you know, taken care of before the food goes into the bowel or whatever it is that you're consuming goes into the bowel. And when that slows down, right? So we have the mastication or chewing your food, and then you have the disinfection of the food, and then and the melting down of the food, and then you have the absorption and full digestion of the food in the small intestine, and then you have the absorption of all the food that takes place in the the nutrients that take place there, and then it goes into the bowel, into the colon, and all the fluids get extracted in the bowel, and then you eliminate. So it's mastication, disinfection, absorption, elimination. Basically, that's the cliff note version of digestion. And if any of those get sluggish or slow down, this is where we start to develop problems, where food isn't fully being digested or broken down in the gut and starts to rot and putrefaction takes place and you start bloating. And this is like, you know, when you bloat, that's gases, that's methane and ammonia that's not escaping, that's just kind of sort of filling up your bowel, you know, and then food is rotting in there and it's just a hot mess. It's gross.
I have to be careful. I notice sometimes when I'm really, really hungry and I'll just get a meal and start chewing and I swallow and went, wait a second, I didn't chew that long enough.
That's my biggest problem.
I'm like, whoa, 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 easy killer. You know, you gotta chew that food because that's part of your digestion. You gotta get your salivary glands and your saliva in there to help break that down, and you gotta masticate it so it's easier in your system when it gets to the second stage.
You know what else happens when you're chewing it? You know, those messages we talked about, the quorum sensing and everything. So all that saliva starts to send messages. There's messages in the saliva that these bacteria uptake, and they're like assessing what you're sending to the gut, and they start to tell each other how much pepsin to make, how much HCL to make, how much they start to talk to the parietal cells in the gut, and they start to, or epithelial cells, is that right? In the lining of the stomach, and everything starts to talk to each other about what you're consuming. And okay, there's some animal protein coming down the hatch. Oh, we don't know what that thing is. What is that? I don't know. Foreign invader, extra HCL. Like, you start to do this thing. And then the particular bacteria that are in charge of that thing come down. And so everyone has a job and everybody goes to work. And it begins with salivating.
Mm.
And then those messages get sent back and forth to the brain and to the entire nervous system.
Well, you know, that was actually one of the original songs from Police before. It was Message in a Bottle. It was Message in Saliva. And they were like, I don't think that's going to sell. He's like, let's just do it in a bottle. Okay. And that's how that came to be, apparently.
It's so funny. Sting is he was a teacher, so it makes sense that he would say something like that. He's so clever.
He did. I mean,
he's just a poet. Message in Saliva. Whoa.
Or Spirits in the Material World.
God, that was corny. So
I think he has a song about corn too.
So anyway,
sorry, folks. A little.
He ate a corn dog this morning, and
I would never eat a corn dog.
It was a never mind.
Ever.
Meaning ever. You're being super corny.
I understand that, but I'm going to say that I'm going to qualify that. I get to moments where I will just want some comfort food. Like, you know, of late I've gone to Whole Foods and I'm like, forget it, I'm getting a slice of pizza. You know, because I try to eat really well and not eat too many breads, but sometimes I falter. But I will never, ever, never, ever, not ever eat a corn dog.
Because it doesn't taste good, or because it's gross.
You know, it doesn't. Only because I know it's just horrible meat that I just won't go near it. So then my body just says, well, if my mind thinks it's horrible, well, my taste buds aren't going to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Does that include bratwurst and things like that?
I've eaten it, but I don't eat. You know, it's funny. I don't eat those kind of meats very often. But I do like pepperoni.
Well, that's a sausage.
It's a sausage. Yeah, but a hot dog ain't a sausage. That's just on its own.
Lips and assholes.
Lips and assholes from the ground that they just, let's sweep that up and put it in the casing and sell it at a hot dog here.
I am a lover of many, many types of food, and I've been known to eat a corn dog or two. However, I it's not something that I, you know, maybe I couldn't tell you. Maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had one down on the boardwalk down there, and I did enjoy it. But I do like sausage. I do like, you know, like fine sausages, and like when you go, I'm a huge, huge fan. You know what I want to do? I want to do Belcampo Meat Camp. Have you heard of it? You know Belcampo.
It's a butcher up on
Wilshire. It's a really high-end butcher on Wilshire. And they have a farm, and they do this meat camp where basically you go up there and they show you where your food's coming from. And it's like a humanely raised beef and, you know, dairy, I think. And they show you how to do, you know, how to make sausage, and they show you how to cure meats, and they show you everything, basically. They show you the whole process from, you know, tail to snout, I think is what they call it. But they also show you, you know, how it's procured. Yeah, I think it'd be incredible.
I think that would be too.
Yeah, I think it's either going to scare the hell out of you and you'll never eat meat again, or you're going to just develop a respect.
I agree that one and myself should know where our food comes from and how it gets here. Because I went to In-N-Out Burger yesterday, and I was looking all the burgers cooked, all the people eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had that thought, I'm like, you know what it takes to get that meat to this grill?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a thought of that. And we're not when we go order this stuff, because it just tastes darn good. But I think it's important to be aware, because it would inform you whether or not you want to keep eating this, because you should eat food that you would yourself kind of go, I would think. Maybe not. I mean, this is just a theory I have. You know, if I'm not willing to, you know, accept the fact that we slaughter animals for our food, it'd be naive of me not to at least have that consideration, because then I also have thanks for it, because that really does. I'm like, thank you for this burger, because I know this was a life, and sometimes we don't treat these lives very well, and I agree with that we should give them a little more humanely. But
Well, this is a huge subject of which I'd like to get this particular person on our podcast who, through how I heard about Belcampo. She is a dietitian and a nutritionist, and she is also owns and lives on and runs a farm, an organic farm. And her name is, I want to say Diane Hudson. She's incredible. She talks about humanely raised organic grass-fed meats, beef and pork and lamb, how they actually aren't as damaging to the environment as people think, as the vegetarian community would have you believe. And she has some science and some statistics that are mind-blowing. She said what she thinks people should do is the vegan and vegetarian community and the humanely, you know, people who are for humanely raised non-industrial farming should get together and should create a huge movement to stop industrialized farming. She said that is where the problem is, and that humanely raised meat is actually, you know, not as bad as people think. In fact, it's not bad at all. She was comparing it to growing kale, and I mean, her statistics were amazing. I was sitting there with my jaw on the floor, and she's so well read. She's so much science, really, really good. So we'll try to get her on the podcast.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. I'd love to hear that conversation.
And I want to go to the Belcampo meat camp too and check that out. But I really believe I go through phases, Charlie and I go through phases where we'll have, we won't eat meat. We do it less and less. We used to do that more frequently. We used to skip meat for, you know, like several weeks at a time, sometimes a few months at a time. Charlie was a vegetarian for a long time, you know. And then...
Was that hard for him?
No, he didn't care one way or the other. I mean, he cared when he was doing it, and he had reason for doing it, but he's indifferent to being one or the other. He really, really likes how he feels eating meat. We spend a right. lot of money on our meat, a lot of money on eggs, on pork, and on beef and lamb, a lot. Because we can, you know, we actually budget it into our lives, not because we're rolling in dough, but because we just, that matters to us. If we're going to eat
it. I wouldn't
want to
roll in gluten either.
get off your phone.
I had to do something while you were talking to me.
Yeah, I can see that you're doing something.
They didn't
while I'm
know.
Talking.
The guests didn't know I was on the phone.
Now they do, and they know.
Why'd
it's
you
rude.
Have to say that?
Because I find it
that
rude.
That was a good joke, by the way.
It wasn't that good.
It was.
Your jokes are pretty bad today. But anyway, so I just think people aren't as informed as they, you know. Also, just you were talking about that woman that you, the book that you were reading about.
That's actually what I was doing. Funny you mentioned that. What I was doing, I actually went and got that book back again. That's what I was doing right now.
Deep Nutrition.
Yeah, I want to get her on the pod. I'm going to try to contact this person because she was talking about how that, you know, that we... We need this meat. We need that stuff. But the fact is that we're eating just the muscle, which is the issue. Is like most of the time, indigenous humanoids ate humanoids. I said humanoids. Can't get it out today. Our indigenous culture ate the whole animal, and
right.
that's where all the enzymes came from.
Well, that brings me to this supplement that I'm taking right now, which I really like, and I might end up kind of maybe having them sponsor us.
What do you got? What are we taking?
It's ancestral supplements, and this is grass-fed kidney, and pasture-raised in New Zealand, grass-fed and grass-finished, hormone, pesticide, and GMO-free, absolutely no fillers or flow agents. So, you know, and it's kidney. It's bovine kidney, so it's beef. It's a, you know, cow kidney. And they're in gelatin capsules, and I take like 12 a day, even though it says 6, because, you know, in my Native American culture, one of the things that we, I shouldn't say we, because it's not something I practiced growing up or anything, but one of the things that Native American culture does is they ingest the part of the animal that they feel like in their body is deficient. So if they feel like someone has a heart issue, they'll give them more,
right.
a heart, you know, heart to eat. And if they have a kidney deficiency or kidney disease, they'll consume more of the kidney of the animal. And I love that. I think that that's really resonates very true with me. And
is that for mainly your iron? Is that what you're getting?
No, I got this because I have always felt like I have a kidney deficiency. You know, I think a lot of people do. Kidneys are kind of like the source of your
yang
power. Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, people that tend to have low energy, low libido, low mood, low, you know, circles under their eyes. That's one thing too, is kidney. But you know what? Don't take that, because I'll tell you why. Because this is cumulative. This isn't something you take right now. Like, these are more like...
I'll take that, because I just ordered these,
like,
by the way.
Like multivitamins.
I got those coming today.
Yeah, but like this thing, this kidney, this ancestral kidney, or any organ, they have heart, they have mixed...
Well, I'm taking the...
something you want to take for consistently for like a couple of months.
Understood. The other one I have, what's is the I keep forgetting the brand, the liver.
Vital supplement, vital proteins.
Vital proteins, which I haven't, I saw it today.
They also sell a kidney.
I think, you know, you've given me an idea on something. I think that is something, I take herbs, Chinese herbs that are more tonifying to the kidneys, and I have not thought about actually taking actual supplements of kidney, and you mentioned that. I am now intrigued.
I never used to believe in taking like animal glandulars and animal supplements, because it was hard to find back in the day, like when I was working with Dr. Marshall. It's hard to find grass-fed, you know, adrenal complexes or adrenal cortex supplements, because they were all from, you know, bovine adrenal, bovine glandulars. But they weren't grass-fed. They didn't have it then. They were just regular commercially raised beef. So anyway, it makes me feel good that all these organs are being used in a farm. You know, everything is being utilized. The whole animal is being utilized.
Yeah, that's what Catherine Shanahan said. That, you know, those the whole animal was used in these tribes and these cultures.
Yeah,
because there was the nutrition all comes from the organs mainly.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with eating animals. I also don't have a problem with killing an animal. I don't. I could kill a chicken. I could kill a fish. I could kill a lamb. But I have a very serious problem with cruelty and with the way an animal is raised, you know, like when we drive up to Nevada City or we drive north on the 5, you know, you just see those concentration camps of cows, and it's so sad.
I know.
So sad. Right there on the side of the road, you know, it's so crazy.
Yeah. When you're heading down to, when I went to Texas, it's like, it's right. It's, when I went down to, yeah, when I went down to Austin, you pass this one area, Texas, it's right at the border there, and you just, I said this on the previous podcast, you're just driving for miles and you see this haze up ahead for miles, a huge haze. I'm like, what's that haze up there, like a big cloud, and you get closer, and when you get, once you get about a mile in, you have to close your windows.
Yeah.
And it's just these cattle farms. No, it's the methane.
Oh, really?
It's hard. You can't even inhale it. You can't inhale it.
Well, I mean, I know you can smell it. It's incredible.
It's disgusting. I'm like, wait a second. The animals are there. The workers are there. I can't even keep my window open while I'm driving. How are they dealing with it? And it's unfortunate because the animals, I'm like, looking, there's no grass. It's just all on dirt.
It's torture.
It really is.
I'm very, very, very much against that. And I wish that, you know, people cared more about the way animals
are
raised.
That's why I do my best. Like she says, try to always buy grass fed. At least, you know.
I'm just doing Butcher Box now. I hate promoting them right now because I'm having some customer service issues with them at the moment. But it is the best meat that I've been able to acquire. You know, where it's very, very high end meat. And, but I did have a little mishap with them that upset me. But anyway, so, but let's go back to, okay, how much nutrition is acquired from animal protein? How incredibly important it is. But people that have gut dysbiosis and celiac, if you're eating this much meat, if you're eating meat, you know, people that have gut dysbiosis and people that feel really heavy after they eat meat and really full and they feel uncomfortable and they whatever, they're not digesting it. It's not that your body doesn't want it or like it. You are a human being. Your body is fully capable of acquiring this dense, amazing nutrition from this piece of meat. The problem is you're not digesting it for many different reasons. that we won't go into at the moment because everyone has different reasons for not being able to digest. But the first thing you need is hydrochloric acid to digest that animal protein. You need it disinfected. You need it melted down. And that way the nutrition in that meat is absorbable to the bacteria in the gut and to the rest of your body.
And out of all the supplements and then all the products right now that you're offering, you've always said, like, if you're going to do any one item, it would be HCL, right?
For sure. I mean, that's, I take it with me everywhere I go. I have never stopped to, do you know, we did the 23andMe test and I had one of the variances for celiac disease. For those of you that don't know the 23andMe, it's the genetic testing that you can do ancestral and health. It shows you basically what your DNA, what's in your DNA, what you're genetically predisposed to ancestrally, what you're like, who your ancestors were all the way back to the beginning of man, and who and what you what your genetic predispositions are. Are you more likely to get Alzheimer's? Are you more likely to get macular degeneration? Et cetera, et cetera. I had a celiac variance. And I've gone 2 years without eating gluten in the past, almost all grains. We did eat amaranth, quinoa, the body ecology grains, amaranth, quinoa, and millet, and one more. Anyway, and buckwheat. And for 2 years, Charlie and I were gluten-free. And I didn't notice a darn thing. I didn't notice anything about it. But one thing I've always taken now since, I don't know how long now, 10 years, 11, 12 years I've been taking HCL. I don't know. I'm just able to eat gluten. I can eat it and it's fine. I don't have any kind of immediate or
lasting. Well, I think you eat gluten in small amounts. You don't have it. It's not a big part of your diet.
No, but I mean.
So your body, you've built it up to the point where it can resist some of these inflammatory kind of nutrition.
I think it has something to do with my consistent ingestion of HCL. I always have this,
like, it breaks it down,
acid bath, yeah, and whatever doesn't get utilized just gets released, and right, not, you know. So I don't know. That's
a good
theory.
Point. That's a good point. I mean, I don't have a problem with gluten either. I've never had a problem with gluten.
They do say that a lot of problems with gluten arise not as a cause and effect, like I eat it and then
correct,
I just have a reaction to it, but more that it
like it's an ancillary,
yeah,
yes,
like feeds inflammation
and then reveals itself to be something else in your body of a breakdown, a
right,
weak link.
But a variance to celiac disease is celiac, like celiac is, you know, is something
directly correlated,
yeah, exactly. So I also had two variances for Alzheimer's, which wasn't surprising, but really, really disturbing nonetheless, because, you know, it's scary to see that. But all the women on my mom's side of the family all have had Alzheimer's. And so, but, you know, Dave Asprey and a lot of experts say that it's totally hackable. You know, you can totally hack it and prevent it by doing, you know, different things. One of them was the sleep hygiene thing, like turning your screen down to the warm setting so that it's yellow instead of blue, emitting yellow light instead of blue light.
Putting the flux, you have the flux on here.
I have flux on the laptop.
So flux is something you can actually download onto your desktop.
For free.
For free. And what it does is it changes this blue light into a more warmer light. It's a lower color temperature light.
Because the blue lights affect your neurological pathways. They like actually affect your mitochondria. Mm. They affect all kinds of stuff that can help trigger and worsen things like dementia and Alzheimer's.
Right, right.
So that's my fault. Okay.
Okay.
So then, you know, you can do things to prevent Alzheimer's, you know, and you know, eating really healthy fats. The ketogenic diet is apparently something that's really beneficial. But the problem with the ketogenic diet in people that have any kind of adrenal insufficiencies or prone to adrenal fatigue or adrenal deficiency is being on the ketogenic diet kind of makes it harder. You know, it makes it worse a little bit. And it's too much to talk about at the moment. maybe we should do an episode on that. But so it's hard for me to do ketogenic. And, you know, I still deal with my own adrenal
Well, you know, issues. Vodka martinis aren't on the ketogenic diet, Kat.
Sure they are. 100%.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's no sugar in vodka.
Well, converts into sugar, sweetie.
Do you like how I just totally just defended
complete
that?
Denial. Yeah, complete denial.
Hey, I'm not drinking vodka martinis.
Okay, so we kind of went off. I mean, it's part and parcel of this, but you were talking about detoxification. That's how we started this.
That's how we started. So I just encourage people to constantly, not constantly, but always be aware that they can help encourage safe, healthy detoxification in the body. And you do that by encouraging your detox organs and glands. So we have our own detoxification system, and it is the colon, the kidneys, the lymph, the liver, the skin, the lungs. And so we can encourage that. You know, we can encourage the colon to detoxify by drinking, you know, by juicing, by drinking adequate amounts of water, by drinking salt in your water, really healthy air-dried sea salt, and maybe even adding a little extra to create a salt flush so that you actually, it forces you to have a bowel movement that is then, especially if you have a sluggish bowel, anywhere from like a teaspoon to a tablespoon in a quart of water, warm water can help you move and loosen the bowels instead of doing like a laxative, which can be harmful, especially if people rely on them. You know, so that's the colon. Then you have the kidneys, and there are kidney flushes and herbs that support kidney function, kidney detoxification. And there's the liver, and there are flushes, and there are herbs, and there's simple things like lemon water in the morning that help to upregulate phase one liver detox, which is super important for the liver. There's enemas, there's all kinds of things, there's ways to detoxify the skin, like infrared sauna and dry scrubbing. And there are ways to detoxify the lymph, like going on a hydrochloric acid cleanse. I love doing that. You can take, well, you have to know that you're able to take hydrochloric acid at high doses to begin with, which I am. And I can take like 10 hydrochloric acid a day and then do infrared sauna, 10 for 10 days, 10, which isn't that much because I already take 4 after each meal. So I take that. And then on top of that, I'll take 10 more HCL. And then I'll do dry scrubbing and do sauna and do that for 10 days straight. Incredible. Helps you clean the blood, helps you cleanse the lymph, which is a big deal. And
what about niacin flush? Like doing niacin and then doing saunas?
Yeah, that's good too. I mean, we talked about niacin in the past, and I never really followed up with looking into why the body has that reaction when you do niacin. Some people say you're actually flushing toxins, and some people say, no, it's just a type of histamine reaction for taking that much niacin. So I've not yet figured out what the truth is on that. But if anyone's listening to this that knows the answer to that or knows their answer to it, because I keep hearing different things about it, please feel free to email me. So the HCL, there's also the Lyme disease protocol that people can use, take using the HCL. Do you know one of the other functions of HCL? HCL is one of the things that helps you fight off Lyme disease. Like two people can get bit by the same tick that's infected, and one person won't get Lyme and the other one will.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the reason for that is that the body, if hydrochloric acid is the first line of defense with something like a poisonous bite or a sting, it'll flood the system with this lymph, I mean, with this, with hydrochloric acid, like scrubbing bubbles.
So it's not just contained to the stomach, because once it's in your body, it's in your blood system as well?
Yes, just like almost anything.
I did not know that.
And it's like the scrubbing bubbles of the body, it's like a cleanser. It's Clorox, bleach. Did you make that connection? Hydrochloric acid, hydrochloride. Chloride is bleach.
I don't want to drink Clorox, Kat.
You make it. Don't go drinking Clorox. I did not say that.
Don't go drinking.
I did not say that.
Hydrochloric acid.
Don't go drinking bathroom cleansers.
You never.
Because then you'll sue me. I am not condoning or promoting or encouraging drinking bleach.
Oh, that's impressive. I did not.
But that's where that's the chloride, right? Okay. And then, and how about this? Let me break it down. Let me give you another
mini mind bomb.
Chloride, right? Mm-hmm. Chloride, sodium chloride, salt. How does the body make hydrochloric acid? Using sodium chloride. So your body takes the salt that it's eating and it takes the sodium and the chloride bonds and it pops them off and it uses the chloride to make hydrochloric acid in the gut. That's why a low salt diet is a bad idea. Now, if you have major, you know, blood pressure issues and you already have a mess going on, you can't just start eating salt because I said so, right? That would be stupid. But if you are a healthy person or relatively healthy and you've got some concerns about your, you know, where you're headed with your health, one thing we really need is air-dried sea salt. The adrenals alone need one whole teaspoon per day of healthy air-dried sea salt. Just the adrenals. Let's not even talk about your hydrochloric acid production and your kidneys and your sodium-potassium pump that's in your kidneys that relies on sodium. So salt is very important. You can have too much, but you can also have not enough, especially if you're someone who's active. But it's not your regular table salt. You don't want to use that kind of salt. You want to use like sea salt.
Now, do you talk about this in your detox program?
Yeah, so all of this is in the detox program. We go into depth. It is such a comprehensive guide to safe and healthy detoxification. So it's not something like my Total Gut Makeover where it's like a six-week thing where you do it for 6 weeks. This is something where you go, you know what? I feel like spring is coming and I want to do a cleanse. And you open the program and you own it for life. Once you remember, you own it for life. And I upgrade it and update it and add things to it and you'll always be a member. And then you go in, you go, hey, what does Healthy Gut Girl say about a liver flush? Or liver, how do I cleanse my liver? And then you go in there and you go, oh, cool, let's do this. Or a colon cleanse, or, you know, my skin needs some help. I'm going to look at all the things she's offering to do a skin detox.
Do you talk about in the detox program if you're kind of having these symptoms of something that it might be associated with this kind of organ in your body so they know how to kind of self-diagnose their issues?
I don't go that. That's kind of backwards. What I do is I list the organs and glands in order. So in the order that I would suggest that you cleanse them, because you don't want to start with the skin, right? You want to start in the bowels, mm-hmm. in the depths of the body, which is the colon. You want to start there and you want to move to the kidneys and then lymph, and you want it to go, and it's very specifically that way for a purpose. And then, when you open that particular category, like if you open the liver, in that category, you'll see a video explaining why the liver, you shot the videos with me. It explains why it's important to cleanse the liver and what the liver does.
Understood.
And then it'll show you the things that you potentially could be suffering from, the litany of things that you could have that could be bothering you because you have a liver, congested liver, let's say. Oy. Congested liver. What did you break now?
No, my garage door opened. I fell out of my pocket.
So it's really comprehensive, and it's going to be done soon, I hope. In fact, maybe that's what I'll do in a little while, is get back to work on that. And it's great. You know, I think it's something I wished I'd had when I had started out. It just kind of organizes everything into, you know, categories. But one thing that is not in there is I do talk about natural ways of detoxifying the body of parasites, like the way your body would normally want to do it, and how to do that, and the different foods.
Because detoxifying parasites is a lot more complex, right, than just taking
it
some
depends.
Herbs or anything.
Yeah, I mean, right? It depends on if you have an infection. It depends on if it's a microscopic infection or if it's an intestinal parasite. It depends on how long you've had it. It depends on if you have more than one. It depends on the state of your health currently. It depends on a lot of things. And you know, if you don't have a, if your digestion isn't upregulated already, if you don't already have a smoothly functioning gut and you take parasite herbs, it's, you're not, it's not a wise thing to do. You really have to start from, you know, from the ground up before you get to
Makes
that.
Makes sense. Okay.
And sometimes once you just begin on this course of gently encouraging detoxification throughout your body, for 6 months to a year, and then you're also doing like the total gut makeover as a lifestyle, then, you know, the, those kinds of infections will handle themselves.
So
sometimes,
so the things you recommend in the detox program is not something that you're just doing one time for the detoxification. You're hoping to incorporate whatever these herbs, these teas, whatever kind of modality you're offering as part of a natural lifestyle, that you just incorporate them into your life slowly, and hopefully you're doing it more than just within the guidelines of this program?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why that happened that way, because I can't tell you how many texts I get or emails I get or conversations I have with friends, clients, family, you coming to me and saying, Kitty, I need to do some kind of cleanse. What should I do? I mean, I get that, if not once a week, multiple times a week, you know, where people just say, I need a cleanse. What should I do? And I would love to say, here, just look at Detoxit and you decide. And then you just look at it and you're like, oh, that really resonates with me. I think I do have dark circles under my eyes, and I am, my libido is low and my energy is low. This kind of, I want to do a couple of months of this kidney thing or a couple of weeks of this kidney thing. And then it gives you all these different things you could try for kidneys. There's herbs and juices, there's foods, there's castor pad, there's topical things you can do, there's supplements you can take, and there's flushes that you can have, there's teas you can do. It's like, oh, which one sounds best, you know, and you kind of make a combination for yourself, and it shows you how to do all of that. So it's really comprehensive. So you can pop that thing open anytime you want and say, I really need to do a colon cleanse.
But it's more like, I would say that even just more than comprehensive, it's a little bit on the gentle side. I mean, you're just like, if you want to do this, do this. If you don't want to do this, don't do this. It's okay, right?
Yeah. I mean,
severity of how far you want to go into it.
Yeah. The only thing I really, like, if someone wants to do like all of them, mm-hmm. I just recommend they do them in order. Like, if you just want to do a kidney flush or you just want to do a skin, you know, thing, that's fine. But if you want to do like a full on 6 month, you know, hash them all out, I recommend you do them in order. So you start with the colon and finish with the skin. And they all kind of affect the other. You know, you can't really do one without having some positive benefit for all the other organs, because they all work together ultimately.
Right.
So yeah, that's exciting, right?
Okay, absolutely.
I know. I'm like, man, I like this thing. This is a really good program. I really want, I don't know how much it is yet, friends. We got to wait until see how much effort it's going to require of me to complete this thing. But I'll try to make it as affordable as possible. And maybe you can bundle it together with the Total Gut Makeover and get discount or something like that. What else do we want to talk about?
I think we just about covered it, because we're at just about an hour.
Okay. Well, I want to say,
and I have to leave here shortly.
I wanted to talk about, you know, my book that is coming out very soon.
The book.
Yes. And it is officially called The Gut Health Diet for Beginners. Mm. And we're going to start promotion very, very soon. And which is next Sunday, we're going to start promotion.
You got to offer, you got to make some offers. Like, make sign, and I'll sign a book offer. You got to kind of, you have to create something like that, Kat, to make it a little special.
Well,
for
we're going to do a giveaway.
Clientele.
We're going to do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
We're going to do. So I also wanted to talk about, we're going to have some really special guests. So here's the thing, on the 16th for until the November 27th, we're doing a gut health season. Did I tell you that?
Yes,
Mark?
You told me this.
Okay. And during that season, we're going to have gut health specialists, related guests. Mm-hmm. We're going to do giveaways with gut health things like S.A. Wilson's Coffee Enema Coffee. We're going to do some Just Thrive coupons, discount coupons. We're going to do some Body Ecology coupons. And the special guests we're having are going to be, should I say it?
I don't know. You want to wait?
We're going to Kieran back to talk about gut health again. We're going to have one of my favorite colon hydrotherapists from Move Colonics on. We're going to have Donna Gates on of the Body Ecology Diet. We're going to have Dr. Vincent Medici.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You didn't tell me that one.
I know. Okay. It's a surprise. I got to get on him because he's such a busy guy, and I know that it'll easily slip away if I don't pounce on it. But he will blow. He's going to talk about liver, gallbladder. You will feel like God himself is talking to you about this. You're just going to sit there like, what? He's such a powerful speaker. Okay. Incredible.
Look forward to it.
I can't wait. And that's it. I mean, no, there's one more guest. I just forgot who it was. Sorry. But it's all happening. It's going to be a really exciting time. We're going to give my book away. We're going to do pre-orders on the book. And,
yeah, that's exciting. Wow, that's a really great guest to have on.
Okay. All right, friends. Well, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you soon.